since the third morning service on January 1st, 2020. The message is delivered by Pastor Hon. The title is A Jesus Who Stands at the Door Outside. Scripture passage is from a book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. I wish you a Happy New Year. Please greet you with your neighbors for a few minutes. Let us look at a scripture passage. A book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This is the theme scripture passage of 2020. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. As I was selecting the theme passage for 2020, I was convinced that this passage is what Jesus is speaking to each one of us here in the Tsuchiura Megumi Church this year. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. When you hear this passage, you might remember a painting like this one. This is a very famous painting in which the Jesus is standing outside and knocking the door. And very special about the door is that there's no doorknob outside. Jesus is knocking the door, but he cannot open the door himself. Only the person inside the door has authority to decide whether or not to open the door. And together with this painting, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 is used to approach the non-Christians to accept Jesus. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. So, this passage is often considered to be the message for non-Christians. And it is used to encourage non-Christians to receive Christ in their hearts. But if we look at the context of this passage, this passage is not meant for non-Christians, but the Christians. John, Apostle John, who wrote the Revelation, he was captured by the Holy Spirit. And in his vision, he saw Jesus on the throne in heaven. And this Jesus, the Lord Jesus, gave messages to seven churches. And John was supposed to write those messages to each one of those seven churches. And that is what is written in the chapters 1 through 3 of Revelation. And chapter 3, verse 20, is a message given to a Laodicean church, the last church, seventh church. So the word is given to Christians in Laodicea. And towards these Christians in Laodicea, Jesus is saying that he stands at the door and knock. As if he's saying that you say you believe in me, but I'm not in you. I'm not in your daily life. You're not living with me. So the message is not towards non-Christians, but towards the Christians who believe in Jesus. The title of today's message is Jesus Who Stands at the Door. As I was typing the message, the title of the message in my PC, I began to cry, thinking that I may be the one who is keeping Jesus standing at the door outside. I might be keeping Jesus standing at the door outside, but complaining, I don't have this or that, or I have difficult time, or I'm thirsty, or I'm hungry, or I'm lonely. And that made me remember, that reminded me of my primary school time. My teacher used to keep me standing in the corridor when I did naughty things. And I felt I may be keeping Jesus standing in the corridor as if he had done something wrong towards me. And when I thought about it, the tears came to my eyes. Even so, Jesus is so kind that he keeps knocking on the door. Now, what we need the most is Jesus. What we need this year the most is Jesus. It is not a physical fitness or intelligence or financial power or strategy or time or a network or even pride. What we need now and what is most important for us is Jesus. What sort of relationship we have with Jesus determines our life. In this world, there seems to be many things available, but we still feel emptiness. It's because Jesus is not there. One of the things which we noticed in this modern Japan is that we get drowned in wealth when we seek for the wealth. And when we are buried in the wealth, we are surrounded by visible wealth or richness, but we are still depressed. Even Christians are on the on the path of worldly wealth and governed by growth strategy value of this world. As we live in this world and we lose sight of Jesus, then we experience misery, pity, and blindness, and naked. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 says, "You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." Laodicean church was rich. Laodicea was a city with very busy traffic networks, and it produced high quality wool, and it was a developed financial system, and the church might have had many people gathering. The church might have had many facilities, or the church might have had many projects. Probably the church in Laodicea had many things that other churches might have envied. But when we look at only the wealth, and as we put ourselves in that wealth, we forget to put on God's armors, like God's word or prayer, as we face a barking a devil who is looking for someone to eat up. Although we say we are rich, we are wealthy, we misunderstand that our faith is rich. But the reality is that we are miserable, poor, blind, or naked. Spiritually, we are miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And we lose the sight of Jesus, but we don't realize it. But Jesus is still at the door. Keep knocking the door. Even though we do not realize that He is there. And unfortunately, many questions keep Jesus standing at the door outside. Why? Ironically, we Christians do not like to invite Jesus into our heart to tell the truth. When we invite Jesus into our heart, our life changes. And we can no longer follow our own desire. And we know that. And we hear Jesus knocking on the door. But when we open the door to invite Him in, my personal interest is transformed to something else. I'd like to share with you my story, and I hope you are not going to stumble over it. four and a half years ago, when I was going to America to study with my family, six of us, the most concern for me was the financial support. I had not enough money to support six of us for 3 years. And I couldn't sleep when I think about it, when I thought about it. So God opened a way for me to go to study in America, but I didn't have any financial means to support it. And I was mad at God. And as a head of the family, I had to solve this problem. And my idea was to buy stocks. But 4 or 5 years ago, there was a new stock which had tax incentives, NISA. And I knew that from a TV commercial. I never thought of buying stocks until then because I was a pastor serving God. And I talked about it to my wife, and she opposed very strongly. In fact, my wife, after graduating from university in Korea, she worked in a Kosdaq newspaper company, which dealt with information to help a stock exchange. And she said she never met anyone who became rich with stocks, although I saw many who failed with stocks. You are a pastor, and why don't you trust in God? But I was mad at her. And I bought stocks with 500,000 yen, which was in our bank account. I was expecting that it will soon become 700,000 yen. But what happened was that it became 150,000 yen soon. So Jesus was knocking on the door of my heart. Although I said to him that this is my way, and this is not the area I want you to come in. And I lost the money. I had many stories about it, and which I will share with you in the coming months. But in a very wonderful way, we were able to survive 3 years. Six of us, we were never in need. My wife was right. This is not the issue of money. It is the issue of whether or not to accept Jesus, whether or not ignoring Jesus. I did not like to change myself by inviting Jesus into my heart. I did not want to change my thoughts. Although I said, Jesus, you're not with me, but I ignored Jesus who was standing at the door, knocking on the door. The core of the disciple of Jesus is to be with Jesus and to acknowledge that Jesus is interested in every details of our life. When we get married, our life changes. When we have a kid, it changes the whole family life. If that is the case, when we invite Jesus into our heart, our life should change. But we don't like that. We may make efforts to change our life for our children or spouses. We cannot change for Jesus. We like Jesus to change for us. But we don't like to change ourselves for Jesus. And this is the reason that we keep Jesus standing at the door outside. If Jesus is really important for us, and if we really love Him, we should change. What we need to know here is that inviting Jesus into our heart is the best and the most blessing in our life, far beyond our desire or personal interest. Let us look at the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus says, blessed are you because of me. Blessed are you because of me. Blessing because of Jesus is the greatest blessings in our life. And Laodicean Church members, according to chapter 3, verse 17 of Book of Revelation, the people in Laodicean Church did not realize that. You say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And what happened to Laodicean Church, I will speak about that in the coming Sunday. In Book of Genesis, chapter 28, Jacob met God in the wilderness of Bethel. And Jacob realized that God is even there in such a wilderness. Jacob used to think that God is in a special place. He never imagined that he would meet God in the wilderness. And Book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 16. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." Jacob's life at this moment was in a great confusion. His parents deceive each other, and Jacob himself cheated on his brother, and his brother, as a result, tried to kill him, and Jacob's family collapsed, and he escaped from there, bringing in nothing. His life was like a chaos, with jealousy, frustration, distress, hatred, fight, ambitions, struggles, lust, desires, pains. And he was in the wilderness. He never imagined that he would meet God there. Jacob realized that there was an area in his life that God was not with him. There was an area that if God were there, it would have been a bothersome or troublesome. But there's no door, there's no area where God does not knock the door of. And Jesus stands at the door in every area of our life to knock on the door. And Jacob acknowledged God who was knocking on his door and accepted him. Jesus wants to be the highest interest of our life. And Jesus wants us to keep our eyes on him because there's a blessing there. Because it's a blessing itself. Jesus is standing at the door outside and knock on the door. This word or message was given to Laodicean Church, to each one of the members of Laodicean Church. In Revelation, Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock." And the same word, I think, is given to each one of the members of Tsuchiura Megumi Church. Isn't there any area in your life that you don't invite Jesus to come in? Don't you have an area where if Jesus comes in, it can be a troublesome or bothersome? But Jesus keeps knocking on the door. Why does Jesus keep knocking on the door? Because when we invite him in, we will experience the blessings. When we truly know Jesus and truly invite him in and truly love him, everything will be prepared and everything will be in our hands. Do you agree with that? Maybe you don't. When we truly invite him into our hearts, truly love him, everything will be prepared and ready, and we'll have everything in our hands. To become one with Jesus, to think only about Jesus, and to look up to Jesus only, to stay in Jesus, and to die in Jesus, and to live in Jesus, and to love Jesus only. When we make those decisions, that is the blessing God gives us. God says that there is no other blessings, a great blessing than what God can give us. So in the coming year, I pray that this coming year will be the year where we experience to invite Jesus into our heart. Let us pray.